Well, how's it going? It's been a few days this year so far. So far, so good, hopefully. It just seems like sometimes time just keeps ticking on, and it's hard to, you don't even know what day it is sometimes. You don't even know what hour it is. And if it wasn't for internet and news media and other people telling you what day it is, you probably wouldn't recognize it if it was January already. I saw something the other day, a couple of days ago, said, I think it was 52 weeks to Christmas Eve or something like that. I'm like, don't even start that mess. Well, if we're here last week, we talked about some things, and we talked about a new year and some resolution ideas or some thoughts about resolutions. And it was really more about recommitting or continuing to commit on a deeper level to the Lord as His workman, as His servant, as a disciple maker, and just continue to do what Jesus called us to do and do it better and better every day. That's the general idea of what we had talked about. I want to ask you a question about this word stewardship. Some people get nervous when you talk about stewardship, and other people have no issues with it when it comes to stewardship. And it all depends on your understanding of the word, your understanding of what stewardship's about in regards to the kingdom of God, in regards to who you are as a believer. Most people think about money first thing on the list. When you talk about stewardship, how do you handle the money that's in your life? How do you handle your finances? How do you handle what the Lord has blessed you with and given you the opportunity to use? Notice I said use, not have, right? If you're like me, it's almost like I'm the middleman sometimes. Somebody gives it to me and I have to give it to somebody else. It's just life. That really is just life, right? At some point, I got some responsibility there, right? We all have the responsibility to do what we got to do to take care of our responsibilities. Other people, when you talk about stewardship, they might think about ministry or serving the church as a primary thought of stewardship, what it is and what it's about. I'm going to give you a definition of stewardship that another preacher used. I don't know if he thought of it this way or borrowed it from somebody else. I'm borrowing it from him. He's saying stewardship is using God-given abilities to manage God-given resources to accomplish God-ordained results. Okay? Now, a lot of times when we talk about stewardship, what stewardship is, we instantly start thinking about what do I have? What belongs to me? What's in my possession? What about my estate, right? My personal being and everything I have, the possessions, the house, the cars, the family, the money, everything else, my resources, my talents, my gifts, my thoughts. And if you go far enough, you're going to start talking about spiritual things like salvation and grace. Forgiveness, the gospel, the word of God. Y'all realize that we're charged with handling the gospel on the planet to make sure that as many people that can hear it, have an opportunity to hear it. We're to go into the world and make disciples. We're to go into the world and preach the gospel in a bunch of different ways. There's a certain amount of responsibility that's expected there. Why am I talking about stewardship? Because it's the beginning of the year and everybody's taking inventory of their life. What do they have? Where are they going? What don't they have? What failed last year? What would we want to be successful this year? A lot of it has to do with our stewardship abilities, doesn't it? A lot of it has to do with what we do or don't do with the things that God has entrusted us with, the things that God has allowed us to have, that He's given us charge over. When I first got saved, we started, my son was in middle school age, and we started hanging out with other kids, parents, and we started learning some things about what God expects out of parents. And it kind of got my attention the first time somebody said, hey, these aren't our kids. We're just babysitting God's kids. All these kids belong to God, and we're responsible for how we raise those kids. We're responsible for what we teach them. We're responsible for how we protect them. We're responsible for how we bless them. We're responsible for whether or not they had a chance to know Jesus, you see. And it changed everything as a parent for me. It's like, that's not my son. That's God's kid right there. And he just assigned me to be his father, you see. This is my wife. And God brought us together. And we have a certain amount of responsibility toward one another. And together we have responsibility toward God as a united couple, you see. And there's a certain amount of stewardship that goes with that, right? How am I managing, how am I dealing with, reacting to, and contributing to the marriage that God has blessed me to be a part of? Maybe a job or a business. What kind of stewardship issues are there? I'm not talking about worldly expectations. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about everything belongs to God. If you're saved, you belong to God. So if everything belongs to God, then everything becomes his. And if it's in your life and part of your life, it's because he's allowed that. So there's a stewardship situation there in all things, right? So how are we working at our jobs? Are we doing it as if we're working for the Lord, or are we doing it as if we're working for ourselves? Are we running our businesses as if we're running God's business, or are we running the business because we own the business? Stewardship. Are we using our God-given abilities to manage God's resources to accomplish God-ordained results? You see, I'm at somehow the Lord saw fit to put me in this pulpit, right? Is this my pulpit, or is this God's pulpit? Is this God's ministry, or is it my ministry? Am I glorifying myself as a preacher, or am I trying to glorify God with my ministry efforts? And the same thing is true for all of you in your lives. Okay, you're retired. There's stewardship involved in that. Are you retired well? Are you honoring God with your retirement? Are you serving the Lord with your retirement? Are you bringing glory to his name by the way you are retired? Or are you just tired and you don't care? I get it. I'm not even retired and I'm tired. So I'm going to have to get retired when the time comes. It's all an attitude situation, isn't it? It's all about your attitude. It's all about our attitude. What attitude do we have? What attitude do we have toward everything in our life? What's first? Is it me first, or is it God first? Is it me first, or is it others first? That's the key to it all, isn't it? So stewardship is not really something that we learn how to do well. It really isn't something that we try to achieve by making right decisions and learning how to be good at it. Stewardship is a matter of the heart. It really is. In all situations, it's a matter of the heart. Just about everything I've found, and at least in the New Testament, quite possibly in the Old Testament, from my studies in the Word of God, this relationship that we have with God, it's always about God loves you, do you love him? It always breaks down to that. When it comes to any kind of obedience or submission or surrender, to do's or not to do's, whatever you want to lay down, it's always about not God forcing you to do something or not do something, just saying, do you love me? Because if you love me, then this will be in place, or that will happen, or this will come to an end, whatever the case. I want to read in Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 25 to 27 just to set the scene, and we're going to come back to those two verses in the end. It's on the end of my slide, so let me just read it to you because I'll come back to it. It says, and a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's the question. What shall I do to be saved? It was the question in Acts chapter 2. It's the question right here. It's always the question. How do I go and be with God? And verse 26 says that he said to him, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered in verse 27, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And verse 28 says, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Well, how can I be saved? Do that. Love God and love people with everything that you have and everything that you are. That's the key to stewardship in all things in your life. Let's break it down. The Good Samaritan, y'all know about the Good Samaritan. Y'all know the parable that Jesus taught. We're going to break it down a little bit. In verse 30, Jesus replied, and he starts telling this parable, and he says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among the robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving himself dead. That's attitude, attitude number one. What's yours is mine. And everybody, most decent folks, saved or not, sit back and say, oh, I don't have that attitude. And generally, we don't. Generally. But be careful. Be careful that you don't just write it off that you don't have that kind of an attitude. Because we're not thieves, right? That's what we say. I'm not a thief. I don't go around robbing people and beating them down and taking, you know, we see this stuff even on the news today. It's getting out of control. It was way out of control now. People are just taken from people by force all over the country, and all over the world, have been since Cain and Abel, you see. What's yours is mine. It's a thieves' attitude, and it still exists in today's world, whether we like it or not. Let me look at Old Testament. Let me just, in this warning, to be careful, okay? To be careful. Go to Malachi chapter 3. You guys all know this. If you've studied your Bible, you know what this is about. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, ! In the New American Standard. And of course, all of us would sit back and say the exact same thing that these people say. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me. The whole nation of you. He's talking about the nation of Israel. He's like, all of y'all are robbing God. It's what the Old Testament scripture was saying about the nation of Israel. And then you go to verse 10, he explains what's going on. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Seems like it's all about money, doesn't it? It seems like that if that's all you read, if that's all you think about and talk about. I mean, that's what's being talked about in Malachi for sure, because they weren't bringing any money into the Lord's house. They weren't providing for other people as they did in Acts chapter 2. Remember, Acts chapter 2 says everybody shared everything with everybody. Nobody had a need because they understood that they were part of something bigger than what's in this world. Right? And they understood everything that they had belonged to God. And that's hard. That's hard for some folks. It's hard for some folks who have worked hard their whole life to make a living for their family. And they've sacrificed time after time for their family to be fed and have a roof over their head. And now they have this retirement and they're comfortable, maybe not even well off. They're just comfortable. And I think it's natural to be reluctant to give some of that up, right? I just think it's a natural thing for all of us. The reality is none of that exists without God letting you have it. None of it. Everything that I have in my pocket, everything I have in my bank, everything I have on in my house came from God and belongs to God. And I wonder how many times we think about that in such a way where we ponder in our mind saying, if the Lord asked for all of this today, would I give it to him? If the Lord, for somehow, some way, put it on you, all of what you have would be given to him, would you be ready to surrender it to him? It's his anyway, is it not? Because y'all like to say amen when I say everything belongs to God, but when I talk about giving it back to him, it's like, amen. Okay, I got to say amen to that one. We don't want to, but we do, right? It's tough, isn't it? The Israelites were robbing God because they weren't recognizing that what they had was his to start with. And they felt like they needed it, so they wouldn't give it. They didn't bring it. And God's saying, look, what you have is mine. And if you would just surrender it to me, you would find that I got way more where that came from. And here's what set me free when I was a young believer learning all of this for the very first time. It set me free that somebody told, I forget who it was, we were sitting in a study, some kind of study somewhere, and the guy said, God does not need what you have. And he doesn't want it if you don't want to give it. If you're going to give it reluctantly, he don't want it. He don't need your money. He don't need your stuff. He don't need your kid. He don't need all of that. He don't need any of it. He don't even want it if you're just going to say, okay, fine, just take it. What God wants is for our hearts to surrender everything as his. Just to acknowledge that it's his to start with. I live in God's house. I drive God's cars. I'm married to God's wife. And my kids are God's kids. The food in my freezer belongs to God. If he has to me to share that with somebody, then so be it, right? Because there's more where that came from. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because God, if I need something else, if I'm running out of something, I go to God and he's got that covered. Somehow, some way, he's going to provide for me. It's about trusting God, isn't it? This stewardship issue. It's about recognizing who we are and who he is, what's going on, and the reality of all of this stuff so that we can be in line with what God's doing. And if we're not able to do that, then maybe it's what's yours is mine, what's God is mine, right? What belongs to God is mine. Once he gave it to me, then it's mine. That's not at all the case, is it? And I know we don't live under the law, thank the Lord. I know that when Jesus went to the cross, died, was resurrected, went to be with the Father, and you and I said, yeah, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior, right? We repented and were baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, and we stepped into the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? And now we live under grace. So what's all this Malachi stuff? Well, for us, God doesn't change, right? The Word of God is the Word of God, New Testament, Old Testament, it's all one. So we can't just say Malachi don't apply no more. And whether you believe that tithing is a command or not, doesn't really matter. Because if you're only tithing because you have to, God's not interested in that. If you're tithing because you know it's his to start with, that's what he's after. He's not after your money. He's not after your stuff. He's not after anything but your heart. He's after your heart. He's after you to love him, you see. And if we, the sooner we can recognize that everything that we own, everything that we have, everything that's part of our lives is his, the sooner we can show him that our love for him is genuine. Nothing that'll set you free is, as far as the tithing thing goes, I don't want to stick on that, but as far as the tithing thing goes, some people have a struggle with that. But if you realize that God allows you to use 90% of his stuff, his money, in your life, it's pretty amazing, don't you think? If you want to look at it as a command, you want to get mathematical about it. And I think people that get caught up in the mathematics, it's got to be 10%, it's got to be X amount of dollars and X amount of cents to the T to make 10%, and that's all I'm giving him. That's not the right heart, is it? It's not the right heart. I think if we can get our hearts right with this stewardship thing, I think we won't even have no issues with money and God. All right? I mean, there'll be a conversation about tithing or whatever, but it won't be the big deal, will it? It'll be every morning we get up and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with your stuff? What do you want me to do with this? What do you want me to do with my resources? My abilities, my talents, my skills, my spiritual gifts. How can I use those to serve you today? How do I manage my home? How do I manage the things that the Lord has given me so that I can serve the Lord and see the God-ordained results of my witness for him? Right? Because that's the witness, right? It's all about the witness. Stewardship. It really is all about, do we love God? Okay. Let me move on a little bit. Here's a second attitude. Luke chapter 10, verse 31 and 32. 31, 32, you know what happened? By chance, a priest was going down the road, and when they saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him and passed on the other side. The Levite and the priest both had certain positions in society, certain benefits in those positions, certain rules and laws that they had to go by in those positions that they felt prevented them from having compassion on this man who was robbed. And they did not want to give up any of that and make any kind of sacrifice for the sake of the one who was in need. So what's mine is mine, is the second attitude. The Lord gave it to me. I'm not sharing that. Go get your own stuff. Go get your own ribs. These are my ribs. I mean, It's kind of silly because we don't think we're like that. But we have to be careful that we're not really like that and don't know it, you see. Sometimes when God asks us to do something with the resources he's given us, it's going to call for sacrifice. Because if I do something with this resource that God has given me, then I won't have that resource anymore. And I might need it or want it. And if I give it to someone else or use it in the benefit of somebody else, then it means that I don't get to use it for me. So what's mine is mine, right? That's like moving past what's God is mine to, since God gave it to me, now it's mine. We're taking ownership of it. And we've forgotten that it all belongs to God. This is not a sermon about tithing. However, the tithing place right there at the door, don't forget about it. It's important. The offering plate. But it's not a sermon about tithing. It's not even a sermon about money. This is a sermon about, do we love God? And do we understand that everything in this world, everything that we have belongs to Him? This ain't my church, and y'all ain't my people. A lot of preachers talk that way. My church and my people and my leadership. No, it's all God's. Y'all belong to God. This is God's congregation. I just get to be a part of it. Right? And I have a role to play in the middle of it all. Just the same as you all. Y'all have a role to play in this family, in this church family. And each role is important. And there's a stewardship issue in that role. How you participate as a member of this congregation has everything to do with your witness and has everything to do with your commitment to the Lord, has everything to do with Jesus living in your life. It belongs to God. The priest and the Levite, they didn't want to give up who they were and their place in society. Because if they were to do anything to help this man, it would have harmed their reputation. Both of them. So they were like, nope, I can't do it. Thus saith the Lord. No, that's not what the Lord says. They refuse to sacrifice themselves. It's a selfish attitude. Okay, the third attitude. Let's move along. Put it in a higher gear here. Verse 33 and 35. But the Samaritan who was on the journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, putting him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Okay? The key thing there for this Samaritan is he had compassion. You have to have compassion. You see. There's nothing wrong with building your home and your family and your estate or yourself or your being or whatever, but just be ready for the Lord to use it as He sees fit. Whatever it is. Maybe somebody needs some wisdom that you might have about something. And maybe you're not, you know, if you're going to be a Levite or a priest, you're not going to have time to sit down and talk to this person and share some wisdom that they so desperately need in their life, that God might want to use you in their lives to help them in a certain situation. But if you're too busy, then you've missed out. What's mine is mine. But if you're paying attention, if we're paying attention to the Lord and recognizing that even the wisdom and the experience and the knowledge in my mind, in my brain, and the Word of God that lives in my heart is for God to use for other people, then certainly I have to be ready to share that. I have to be ready to say, you know what, let's go sit down and have a sandwich and talk about this. I don't have all the answers, but here's what I know. And the best thing you can do is pray for somebody, so let's do that. Right? So what's mine, what's in my possession, is for anybody who God wants to use it for. Right? It's just the way it is. And the sooner we get to that place, the better we have the attitude of what's mine is yours. That's Acts chapter 2, isn't it? That's the church in Acts chapter 2. Nobody had any need. They all shared everything. Yeah? This Samaritan, you have to have compassion on people. You have to have a heart. You have to have a heart, y'all. If your heart is hard, then you're probably going to live in one or two or both. What's mine is mine, or what's yours is mine. Because notice the first two attitudes end with mine. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. The big idea for this attitude number three is everything he had and everything he was about, he offered to this person who was in need. His attention, he shared his attention. He stopped. He looked. He investigated. He took his time, and he spent time not only right there on the curb. He didn't just drop him off. He stayed there and cared for him. And he paid the bill, by the way. You not only paid the bill, but he said, whatever extra you need, when I get back, I'll give you that too. And he didn't care what anybody thought about him for doing it. So he didn't care about his reputation. He didn't care what the world thought about him. He didn't care what the social rules were when it came to that kind of stuff. All he cared about was, here's a person that has some serious need. I have the ability and the knowledge and the time to go take care of this, so let me just get involved. Finishing up in verse 35, it says, on the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and to take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I return, I'll repay you. He didn't just forget about him. He didn't say, okay, I did my good deed and move on. I'm never going to think about it again. He's fully available for the situation. And I know that most of us have it in us to react when those are in need are made known to us. But y'all, you know as well as I do that it can get tiring when there's so much need. Especially recently, we've figured that out. It's like a never-ending need right now in the world, just in our community, because of the storm. But at the same time, we can have the attitude of, okay, well, we got to go help some more people because it's not over yet. When is this going to be over? I wish it was over. And it's fine to wish it was over so people would quit suffering. But at the same time, we could have the attitude, it's like we get up every day and say, okay, let's go find some more people to help because that's what God wants us to do. And just do it. Knowing that whatever is the need is, God will provide. And I think what's been happening here at this church since October is plenty of evidence of that. In the beginning of this storm, by the way, just an example, because y'all know that people have been sending resources over here since October from all over the country. And every time we would give out some resources to anybody, it wouldn't even be the end of the day. I turn around and more than what we gave out would come back in from somewhere else. Like literally, I would hand somebody some money and then later on in that day, somebody else would hand me way more money than I handed out. It was just amazing. None of that money is ours. None of it belongs to Oak Grove. It's here for the reason, for the purpose of helping people that need help. Right? And it's a scary situation for me and for y'all. Because God has given us a responsibility. He's given us something to be stewards over. And it's an honor and a blessing and a task. It makes me nervous. Not because I don't trust you guys and I don't trust the Lord. It's just a lot. It has been, and it's going to continue to be a lot. But the question is, are we here to love the Lord? Are we here to serve the Lord? Are we here to do the Lord's work? Are we here to do the things that we've prayed for God to do in this church? If so, then our hearts will pursue what God's will is with everything that we have. Right? Here next month, we're going to have our congregational meeting, and we're going to talk about Mr. Francis Drake's estate, which is, by the time it's all over with, it's going to be a pretty significant amount of money for the church to do some ministry with. So we have to pray about and discuss and talk about what might happen in that area, right? I'm just pointing out that God has plenty of what he needs for your life. He's got plenty of what he needs for this church. He's got plenty of what he needs for this community. He's got plenty for the world. There's been, all right, I'm gonna shut it down with this here. There's been plenty of times in my life as a younger man, where the Lord's given me amazing opportunities to make money in different jobs to pay my bills. And especially before I got saved, because I had a lot of bad habits, that I would struggle to pay my bills. And it wasn't because God didn't provide. It was because I wasn't a good steward of what the Lord provided. And every time I'd go crying to the Lord to fix the problem. Even before I was saved, I'm like, Lord, you got to help me pay this bill. And he's like, well, you shouldn't have bought that race car tire. You know, you shouldn't have put the repairs on that race car. What's all that about? That's why I quit driving race cars. Cost too much money. It's all stewardship. And here's the thing. I think every person, in general, for the most part, we all do what our hearts desire. In the end, ultimately, at least we strive to do. Sometimes our hearts desire to do something and it's just unattainable, or it's just out of reach, or it's something else is in the way of it that has nothing to do with us, and we're just not doing it yet. But if my heart is to serve the Lord, then I'll go do that. I'll find a way to do it. If my heart is to bless others, then I'll find a way to do that. If my heart is to feed self, then I'll do that. What's it all about when it comes to living this life in this world and making disciples and being a witness for the kingdom of God? So there's our three options. What's yours is mine, or what's mine is mine, or what's mine is yours. Right? So now we're back to verse 25 and 27, how this whole parable got started. Jesus was asked, what do I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus' answer was, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Over here on verse 27, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. It's all about loving God. Jesus even taught us, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. And if we could ever find our way to a proper and deep understanding of Jesus died on the cross so that we could be saved from our sins, not go to a place we know as hell, and end up in a place we know as heaven, which is in the presence of God for eternity, and in between that time, we're here. And what are we here for? To make disciples. Otherwise, we just go be with God as soon as we confess Christ. As soon as we get saved, we'll just go be with God. But we're not. We're still here. So there's a purpose behind that. Okay, well, Jesus says, go into the world and make disciples, and I'll be with you everywhere you go. God has given us all the tools we need to do the work. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. He's given us everything we need, including the resources. Right? So when we understand those resources are not for us to enjoy this world, so much as they are for us to do the work. Here's the good news. Sometimes, a lot of times, if we're good stewards, we will find out that we get to enjoy God's resources while they're used for his work. But if we enjoy them at our pace and at our will, then we'll miss out on doing his work, you see. So as I look at 2025, and I say to myself, how am I going to make disciples this year? How am I going to help the people at the church make disciples? How am I going to participate in that? And it comes down to stewardship. It comes down to how am I going to do the things that God wants me to do with the resources that God gave me so that we can reach the goals that God has set so that he can have his way and his will be done, you see. It's all stewardship. And when I see the word stewardship, this is just me personally, when I see that word stewardship, I always think, God wants to know, do I love him? And of course, if you're like me, an instant argument happens in your mind. Well, I told him I love him. He don't know by now. How many times I got to tell him? Every moment that I have breath, he wants to know. He wants to know, do you love him? Do you love him with your home, with your family, with your stuff, With your property? With your mind? Your gifts? Your talents? Your money? Yeah? I know it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Everybody's like, hey, man. It's like, oh, not the money. If it was easy, everybody would do it. It's just a fact. I love you and the Lord loves you. I think the goal for us this year is that we would continue to develop a heart of stewardship, a heart for the Lord. We're just ambassadors. And all of our tools belong to God. We're just using them for his glory. Let's stand together and we'll sing. If you have a decision to make today, you should probably do that.